Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. A new report from the NEE Casey Foundation explores what state policymakers can do to help the millions of children with a parent that has been incarcerated, something that 179,000 children in North Carolina have experienced. Joining us now to talk about it is Layla Bell with NC Child. Well, Layla, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Good morning.
Let's talk about the new report about how to help kids who have incarcerated parents. First of all, tell us about how big an issue this is.
Well, this is a significant issue. The NEE Casey Foundation took a look at children of incarcerated parents, and what they found is children and families of folks who have gone away to either prison or jail are often some of the invisible victims of this issue. So they bear the brunt of the challenges that are caused by the loss of that parent in their home. So nationally, we're talking about more than 5 million kids. Here in North Carolina, it's about 179,000 kids. If we think about that as a proportion of our child population, it's about 8% of all kids in our state. And that really puts us in the top 10 in terms of the number of kids who have been affected by this issue.
Obviously, there are a lot of things, but what are some of the challenges they face that other kids don't?
Well, one of the biggest issues the report finds is really this financial instability that is caused by the loss of that parent. Regardless of whether that parent was living in that same household, there's often a loss of resources that can really have some real and important consequences for kids. For example, children who may have to move because their families can no longer afford their mortgage or rents, who face issues like financial security. And other research has also shown that parental incarceration, that loss of relationship and tie, can also be as damaging as exposure to abuse or neglect for children in terms of their development and the trauma that they then endure.
So there's a lot of psychological issues as well as tangible things that we can see.
Exactly. So there are challenges to their well-being that affect their social and emotional health, as well as their financial stability, and really their network, community support, and their academic performance as well.
Academic performance is interesting because I was just going to ask you, I assume that for some kids, we live in a world where sometimes kids are cruel. I'm sure that that plays a role in how they do in school.
Right. So there's a social stigma that can often come with having a parent who has gone away to prison or to jail. And our schools often are not equipped to handle that kind of situation. So the bullying that can result or the trauma that the children are trying to deal with and the ways that that child may process and act out as a result. And we also don't have good data to help schools and other professionals identify these kids proactively so that they know to be targeting appropriate resources and supports to these kids as they're dealing with their parents' incarceration.
I mean, 179,000 kids is a huge number. And I wonder, what are some of the things that we can do in North Carolina, our policymakers or other folks can do to help these kids?
So the report highlights three big recommendations that are really targeted around helping to support parents as they transition back into communities and resume their roles within their families, helping communities that are then trying to reintegrate these folks successfully. So we know that most people who end up going away to prison or jail will eventually return to their community. Unfortunately, they return with a kind of stigma that makes it hard for them to do things like find employment, which then makes it difficult for them to earn a wage to support their family and meet their children's basic needs. We also know that there's also a geographic component to this issue. So some communities bear more of a burden for folks who are returning for prison or jail than others. So there's a spatial concentration. And unfortunately, these are communities that are often struggling with issues like concentrated poverty and a poor infrastructure that lack things like transportation to enable these folks to be able to move outside of their community to secure and look for a job or even adequate or appropriate or affordable housing for those families. And the third recommendation is really around considering the systems level changes that need to occur. So either judges thinking about the impact of where a parent may serve their time or how incarceration affects those kids and families, and also states looking at public policies that can make it easier for those parents to maintain those relationships and for parents to successfully reintegrate into their homes and communities through initiatives like Ban the Box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that in a moment, but it's interesting that the report, there's some things people probably don't think about, like literally the ability to call your parent in prison or jail, how expensive it is and how often you can call them is something the report talks about.
That's exactly right. So you're talking about a family that's experiencing financial hardship. And in addition to that, it is very costly for families to be able to have those calls with their family members and parents who are incarcerated. And as a result, some people just aren't able to do that. And we know that maintaining those emotional relationships and ties between parents and children while the parent is incarcerated is important not only for that child's well-being, but also as that parent transitions back into the home in order to make sure that transition is more successful.
The Wake County Commission recently adopted a policy to ban the box for employees of Wake County, which I guess is a good step in the right direction.
It is a good step. We have more than 20 states nationally that have adopted some kind of state-level policy to ban the box. And what we know is this really does help people who are returning back into their home, have served their time, and are trying to resume their role in society, be able to approach employers and employers be able to review their credentials and qualifications without the stigma of that previous incarceration.
This sort of is the latest, in some ways, reinforcement of the thing that NC Child and others have talked about for a long time, that helping kids really means helping families. These are just families with unique needs.
That's exactly right. So sometimes when I'm out talking to folks in local communities about child well-being, we talk about this child bubble. So this notion that children are their own little independent entities. And if we get the appropriate amount of resources to kids, we can change the trajectory of their life. While it's important that we invest directly in kids, we have to recognize that children live in families, families live in communities, and all three of those different entities need to be functioning well in order for a child to reach their best outcome and really to achieve optimal child development. So serving kids means helping to make sure that their parents have the support, resources, and opportunities to be good parents, to earn a livable wage, and to provide for that child's well-being and basic needs. And it also means ensuring that the communities that they live in are safe and healthy and financially secure and robust so that that family has the opportunity to thrive.
Before you go, I got to ask you about one thing I know has long been a priority of NC Child, but actually has an effect on this issue too, which is stopping the practice in North Carolina of automatically trying 16 and 17 year olds as adults, which then of course makes it more likely if there are charged as adults that they'll be repeat offenders, and it probably adds to the cycle. So how important is that issue?
It's critical, and we have reams of good research, evidence, and data that shows that this is not a developmentally appropriate juvenile justice practice. Only two states in the entire country have a similar policy, North Carolina and New York, which are two states that we often don't put in the same sentence. And we know that young people who begin their life with a criminal record are really set up with a number of different disadvantages that make it difficult for them to be successful. And as they become young parents, that stigma of that previous incarceration or criminal record can follow them and have the same negative consequences and outcomes that we were just talking about in terms of their ability to secure affordable housing, their ability to get a job and really earn a wage, or their ability to access all of the supports that they need to be successful parents.
Well, great information, and we appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.